They could have walked away saying, see, we should have never gone there. See, everybody has problems. See, I know we couldn't get to Jesus. But instead, the Bible tells us that these four men, they decided to take it to the next level.
This is Straight Talk.
Good evening, friends. Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. I'm Joshua Hollick, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, the senior pastor of New Life Community Church. And Pastor Mark, it's so much fun to be able to serve all of Chicagoland and Northern Indiana through this program. And I know that you have a strong connection to Northern Indiana.
I actually do. You may not, our radio listeners may not know this, but I was born in Gary, Indiana, at Methodist Hospital, me and Michael Jackson.
The two MJs.
Yeah, two MJs. And actually, my mother was, she was a cheerleader at Hobart High School, the Hobart Brickies. And my father was in Calumet. My grandfather was a foreman at the steel mills. And so I have relatives in Northern Indiana. And we just want to give a shout out to those of you that listen to this program on a regular basis in the Northern Indiana area. Hey, we love you guys. Keep listening. Let us know. Give us some feedback. You can get a hold of me or listen to, give us some feedback via Facebook at Mark Jobe or Twitter at Mark Jobe Chicago or jump on www.straighttalkchicago.org. Send us some information. We'd love to hear your stories, your testimonies, what God is doing in Northern Indiana.
And you can download our Straight Talk app and see videos of Pastor Mark doing the moonwalk just like Michael Jordan at the iTunes store.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Let's jump right into the second half of Pastor Mark's message called Breaking Ceilings. It's from his series called Like No Other, and our text is going to continue from the book of Luke chapter 7. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
They could have walked away saying, see, we should have never gone there. See, everybody has problems. See, I know we couldn't get to Jesus. But instead, the Bible tells us that these four men, they decided to take it to the next level. They decided to move forward. I want you to know that if you're going to take steps forward in God, you will experience every breakthrough will be preceded by a series of difficult challenges. There is no such thing as fixing your marriage without it being challenged. There's no such thing with moving forward in God without it being opposed by somewhere. There is no such thing as trying to pursue something that's worth pursuing without there being major obstacles to your step of faith. Amen? Expect opposition. Number three. Synergize your faith. Talking about how to break through ceilings. The power of united faith can overcome obstacles that solo faith cannot overcome. Verse 19 says, and when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. I want you to see what happened here. I believe there's times where we have to synergize our faith. The word synergy means that when several separate components are put together, that the sum total of their united force is more powerful than when they're individually trying to accomplish the same thing. In other words, a team is stronger when they're united than separate individuals working on their own. Are you tracking with me?
Yes.
That's called synergy. When these four or five individuals, the four friends and the one paralyzed people, came together, and when they put their faith together, their faith corporately was stronger than their faith individually. There's something powerful about agreeing together with God. Agreeing together to pursue something in God. The Bible talks about it when two or three agree together about something. When you come together in agreement with another person, when two or three people gather together and they say, we are going to pray until we see this answer of prayer happen. We're going to come together and fast. We're going to meet weekly until we see a breakthrough. There's something that happens when people agree together to see God do something. It's exponential faith. And these men came together. And the Bible tells us when they could not find a way, because they were together in their faith, they decided to not let one obstacle dissuade them. So maybe it was the same guy that had the idea in the first place. Someone said, how about if we go on the roof? The other guy said, hey, that's a great idea. The third guy says, well, if you guys think it's going to work, I'll go along. And then the fourth guy said, I don't think it's going to work. What if we drop them on the way up? How are we going to dig a hole in the roof? What if Jesus gets mad? What if the landlord sues us? So they hoisted this paralyzed guy onto the roof while everybody's down there having a meeting. And they walk on the roof, on top of this roof, Peter's mother-in-law's house. And they try to figure out exactly where Jesus is. They probably count it out and think, I think he's probably about right here. They're on the roof, like somewhere up there. And Jesus is speaking, and they say, well, let's try to make a hole right here. The Jewish roofs were made out of wood with sticks and hay and mud that was rolled over, so it was kind of cemented down, their version of cement. And so these men started to dig a hole in someone else's roof. And as they dug a hole in someone else's roof, I just imagine it like someone peering through and saying, yeah, he's right there. I see his head. And so on top, they're saying, all right, let's dig a hole. They're pulling out branches, hitting, digging, making a hole. If you're inside, all you see is a hand pop through. A little mud start falling on the head of Jesus. A little light pop through. Imagine, I mean, this is a bold step of faith. This is crazy to do. This is like outrageous. Let me tell you, when you have faith, you don't let anything stop you. It pushes you to do the unusual. It presses you not to give up. It says, find a creative solution. It says, don't get discouraged. Just get you turned around one time. You need to keep pressing. You need to go forward. You need to move ahead. You need to move beyond. God can do it. Don't be discouraged by the first attempt. Yeah. And just imagine what was happening on the inside. Jesus is speaking. All the crowd is looking up at the roof. Stuff's falling down. Peter's mother-in-law is having a heart attack over in the crowd. Said, I knew I shouldn't have hosted this meeting. I knew it. I knew it. Peter's apologizing. I didn't know they were going to do this seriously. Last time we had our meeting, no one made a hole in the roof. I'll pay for it, Mom, if we have to fix it. And all this is going on, and then suddenly, imagine, the crowd stops, everybody's looking up, and now they're lowering a paralyzed guy in the middle of this house. They're lowering him down. Jesus is standing here, there's a hole, and they're lowering this paralyzed guy right in front of Jesus. Now, you understand that everything has to stop and everybody's looking up at Jesus. I've spoken in various places at different meetings where there were interruptions. About 2 weeks after moving into this auditorium, we were just working on it, doing construction. And this pipe right here that you see right there, it burst. And we had the biggest baptism that this church has ever had, because we just baptized everybody in that section right there. Even people that didn't want to get baptized. They just got baptized, you know. And it was just pouring down. I'm not trickling down. It was just pouring water down. And I couldn't preach or teach because everybody's just kind of looking at that and thinking, what's pastor going to do? And so we brought a barrel over here and all the water was pouring into the barrel. And it was just, it's just an interruption. When there's an interruption, everything stops. Years ago when I first started to teach, I was in the basement of 44th and Palina. And I was leading a meeting there. And we were so small and so poor and so bad that I was leading worship at the time. And that's how desperate we were. And so I was playing the guitar, had my eyes closed, and I hear this commotion, this thump commotion. And I just said, without opening my eyes, let's not get distracted by anything. It sounded like someone had fallen on a chair. Let's just focus on Jesus. And then I hear this whisper in my ear, said, Pastor, it's your wife. You better go to the back. So I left the singer up there. I kind of go to the back. It was a real old building. And my wife had been walking along the back wall. And she had stepped on a wood in the back wall, and her foot had gone through. And so she had her leg was in the wood up to here, and she was hurting, and she was in the back, and there was people around her, and it wasn't about her sprained ankle. She could handle that. She was thinking that there was mice, and she's terrified of mice. She almost went into this panic mode because she just thought there's going to be mice crawling up my leg. So the entire service got stopped because there was a distraction in the back. There was one lady that came and visited, and she thought we set it up, that I was going to go into the back, lay hands on this lady and heal her. She thought it was all a setup, you know, that this was the first time she had ever visited. Instead, we had to call the ambulance, and they took my wife out. Well, bye, honey, I hope you feel better. And I had to finish the service. But when there's a distraction, everything stops. You can't concentrate. Imagine someone making a hole in the ceiling and lowering. Everything stops. And I love Jesus' response. Because Jesus doesn't say, what are you guys doing? He looks at these men and this paralyzed man. They're so desperate for his presence that Jesus says, son. I want you to notice before he says son, what happens. Look what it says. When Jesus saw whose faith? Say it out loud. Whose face? Their faith. This is a plural word, not a singular word. He didn't see the faith of the paralyzed man. He saw the faith of the team. When he saw their faith together, he looked at this man and he said, son. I love those words. They're endearing words. Your sins are forgiven. Listen to me here. God always responds to people whose faith leads them to desperate measures. When you're pressing in with all that you have, God sees your faith and he responds to your faith. There are some of you here that have come and you're in desperate need for God.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Breaking Ceilings, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Like No Other. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of our message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 7. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Breaking Ceilings.
You have a desperate faith to God, for God, and you're not really sure exactly what God is going to do. But God is looking at your faith, and he says, sons, your sins are forgiven. And I also want you to understand this about how God works. Did this man come to have his sins forgiven? What did this man come for? He came for healing. You see, what drives you to God isn't always what you really need from God. Oh, let me say that again. Your problem is not your real problem. Sometimes what drove you here to this place is that you came to this place because maybe you're in the middle of a crisis, and maybe you find yourself here because you got bad news from the doctor and you say, I better go pray, because you think that your problem is that you may have you may have cancer, but really, that's not your biggest problem. Your biggest problem is the condition of your heart and your soul. God can heal cancer, but God can save a soul. But if he heals your cancer and doesn't save your soul, then you know that's kind of wasted. You still leave this place with a major problem. And some of you came to this place because, you know what? You had a prodigal son or daughter and you thought, I better go and pray to the house of God. And you think that your problem is that you have a son or daughter that's in trouble with the law. But really, your real problem is that you need a savior to transform your soul. And your son could get out of trouble, but it doesn't save your soul. You still need the salvation of your soul. Some of you came to this place because you thought your marriage was in trouble. And if only God could change your marriage around, then everything would be solved. But you don't just need God to intervene in your marriage. You need God to intervene in your heart. Because the solution to your marriage starts with your heart. It starts when Jesus gets a grip on your life and soul. You see, your problem is not really your problem. God wants to do something deeper then just solve your problem. God wants to get a hold of your soul and heart and change it and cleanse it. This man came for healing. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Because God deals with the whole person. Number four. Trust his word. Because there will always be people that question the authenticity of God's work in your life. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law stood there and judged. And they thought, he's speaking blasphemy. Who has the power to forgive sins but God alone? By the way, this verse is a testament to the deity of Christ. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? You see what Jesus was saying, I have power over every realm. You think it's more difficult to heal someone physically, but the greatest miracle is the salvation of their soul. And Jesus said, what's easier to say, get up and walk? Or your sins are forgiven. What Jesus was saying is, I am the Son of God. I am God Himself. There is nothing beyond my power to do. When someone comes into my presence, I have power to touch every area of their life. There is no limit to the authority of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the resurrected Jesus. He sits at the right hand of God Himself. He is like no other. And while the Pharisees were watching Jesus, he said, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he looked at the paralyzed man that had just been lowered through the ceiling. And he said, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And the Bible says immediately he stood up in front of others. He took what he had been lying on, and he went home praising God. Oh, I can just picture it. He's laying there. The Pharisees are arguing. And Jesus says, okay, get up. You know, it's always interesting to me that Jesus says, take your mat. That's the last thing I'd be worried about is a mat. But if you see it in the miracles of Jesus, he always says, pick up your mat. I believe that Jesus tells him to pick up the mat because the mat is symbolic of where they've always been. It's symbolic of your old life. And Jesus doesn't want any remnant of your old life left behind. So he says, pick it up and take it with you. I don't want you ever to go back to it. That's how God works. Some of you came in here and you have a past. And you come and you want God to change you, but you leave your mat there just in case you need to go back and lie on it again. Say, well, Pastor, I want to walk in purity. I don't want to be that woman again. We pray over you. You repent. But you still want to keep the number of your old boyfriend in your iPhone. That's your mat. Like, pick it up and erase it. Because that man, you're not going back there anymore. You say, hey, I want God to liberate me from my drug addiction. But you know what? You still keep your connections with you. You need to get rid of it because your mat no longer is where you're going to anymore. That's done and gone. There is no backup plan to go back to where you were. There is, we burn the boats and we stay with God. There is no returning back to the old life in Jesus Christ. Take up your mat. Take up your mat. And as this man is taking up his mat, the Bible says that everyone there began to praise God and they were full of awe. And they said, we have seen remarkable things among us today. And I close with my last point here. Listen, number five, celebrate the change. Let your change be the megaphone that points others to God. And he went home praising God. And everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Let me tell you, the greatest testimony to the power of God is not an awesome preacher. It's not great music. It's not a building or stained glass windows. The greatest testament to the power of God is not how it is not stained glass windows and a cross on a cathedral to remind people that God is alive. The greatest testament to the power of God is someone that's a living, walking, breathing testimony that they have been changed and transformed and people can see it. You are God's megaphone. When people should be able to look at you and say, I know who they were and I know who they are now. God is real. You are God's megaphone. Oh, not perfect, but you are God's megaphone to the power of a transformed life. You say, Pastor, hey, we really need to reach the community. Can we, how about buying billboards on Archer Avenue that says Jesus saves? That's a good idea. How about getting a helicopter and a banner on the back that says, turn or burn? That's okay idea, I guess. How about if we just get one of those, you know, one of those vans that has megaphones on the top of it? And we plaster all over the side, Jesus is the way. And we go up and down the neighborhood saying, Jesus is the way, come to church. And that's an all right idea. Let me tell you, those are all okay ideas. And I'm not against trying to get the word out there with yard signs. Any way we can. Amen. But let me tell you the best idea. The best idea is you. You say, Pastor, what do you mean me? You like, you want me to put one of those signs on that says the end is near and walk? No, 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 no. I don't want you. That's weird. I want you to dress normal. But I want you to be so full of the presence of God that every coworker you run into, every family member you see, every old friend that you had, when you go to the laundromat, I want people to say, man, there's something about that person. They talk different, walk different, feel different. When I'm around them, there's just a different aura around there. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know exactly what it is, but it is the savor and sweetness and smell of Jesus in you. You are the megaphone of God's grace. You are walking megaphones to the goodness and the power of the glory of God. Listen, most of the people that have come to this place, they don't come because they saw a sign. Some do. Most people that come to this place, they come because they ran into you. Tell the person beside you, let people run into you. And when God has really done a work in your life, then you are naturally going to attract people that say, I want what you have. Because I know who you were. I know what you struggled with. I know that there's something inside of you that I want as well. It's the presence of Almighty God. That's what we want. We want a bunch of megaphones out there just living their life.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Like No Other. And this has been the second half of his message called Breaking Ceilings. This concludes our series. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free at our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. If you would prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. For just $5 plus shipping, we can send those out. Pastor Mark has a book called Unstuck, and it is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you're looking to visit a church on Sunday, we invite you to check out some of our new locations. We've got New Life Elgin, which is celebrating its grand opening Sunday, February 28th at 10 a.m. Log on to our website also to see New Life Hobart. That's right, Hobart, Indiana. And New Life Berwyn is going to be relaunching. Check out newlifechicago.org for all the information. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks again for listening. Please do join us again. Thank you for being a part of the Straight Talk family. Have a great night. God bless.